welcome to Faces of CI. I'm your host, Aaliyah, and we're going to be talking about conversations in contact. Today, we're on Salt Spring Island with Manuel and Selena. Would you like to introduce yourself, perhaps one at a time, sharing a bit about perhaps where you're from and how you got into contact, your origins?
My name is Selena LeBroy. I live here. And I got into contact about 10 years ago, and I was actually introduced to it by my good friend Manu. Today I'm actively involved in the contact community on Salt Spring, and I'm really delighted to share organizing and hosting this festival with Manu.
My name is Manuel, Manuel Rochette. I'm from Quebec originally, and I've been on the West Coast for about 20 years, living on Salt Spring for 10 years. And I founded the festival and sparked the contact community on Salt Spring.
Beautiful. So how did this get going here? I know that we have some wonderful people elsewhere on the island, like Martin Keogh here. And how did you start the scene, perhaps the origins of this on this island?
Mm-hmm. So I'd been dancing for about 10 years prior to coming here. And there seems to be a niche of vacancy. Like there is no contact happening here, but there's a bit of interest. And so my ex-partner and I decided to move here in 2013, like 10 years ago. And we taught a workshop, a four-day workshop, and from which one of very experienced dancers, Sasha, that danced with us and teach at the festival regularly and is a host with us, came to. And so we realized that there was actually more people than we expected that were into contact. So we started hosting jams, and you know, the first few months and years, even I would say the first 4 years, was a mix of ups and downs. Between 3 to 10 people would come every jam, and in the summer would be completely dead. So we'd spark them back in September, and then it would grow. And every year it grew a little bit more, and more interest came. And what made a big difference when we started bringing teachers like Martin to the island. And so he brought a following and started putting Salt Spring on the map.
Mm.
And then in 2016 is when we had the first festival. So we rented the hall. I've never hosted a festival. And I was like, just do it. This seems to be like a demand. And I've been to so many festivals, so I had kind of an idea of what to present. Rented the hall and got four of us together to do all of it, basically, like hosting, doing registrations, cooking, cleaning, talking to people. We took on way much than I thought that'd be. A bit insane of a endeavor, but it worked out. And so we had probably 45 people the first year, which was a pretty big group. And so we're pretty amazed with the response. And since then, it's been every year. Mm-hmm. It's been growing every year.
Yeah, and I know last time it was gathering, there was people coming up now from the States and from mm-hmm. like across Canada. So it really has been able to make a name. Even mm-hmm. like my first experience was 5 years ago when you were at Fulford Hall. And I think that was perhaps Martin's last time teaching there. And it was quite an experience to be with like 90 people, like overwhelming and amazing, the caliber of dancing mm-hmm. and teaching there. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
It had grown a lot over the first 3-4 years, and then mm-hmm. the pandemic kind of like hurt most of event producers and any events. So the last year we had over 100 people coming to the festival in different times.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, this is growing mm-hmm. very fast. And the word really emanated to the whole international community. So felt very proud. And then with the pandemic, we had time to readjust, and Selena acquired this land. And then we had the opportunity to reformat what we wanted to offer, which is kind of a dream mm. where we're living right now, is to host on the land, everyone camping together. Because I didn't say it, but in the past, there's very little venues on Salt Spring Island. It's really hard to find a beautiful place that can accommodate people to sleep. So we had to host people in different places. So it's quite complex and not as connected. Since we're here, it's like it's a village for 10 days.
And would you like to share perhaps about this space that you've created? This is a new place since I think last year that was first being here at your now home.
Yeah, well, this land here, Rhizome Springs, I got the land about 2.5 years ago, and it was all forested. And so we've done a lot of work to clear, to sculpt the land, to work with the waterways. We have been milling our own wood here, so the dance floor and the outhouses and the showers and all of the structures here are built with wood from the land. So part of the idea here and the dream for this place is we think of it as like the land of living inquiry. So really curious around how we relate not only to each other, but also to the nature, the elements, and being immersed in an experience like this really helps us to sort of be in that process. I started coming to events here on Salt Spring in 2014, and I got really enamored with contact improvisation as a practice, and I got more and more involved in the events as my fascination grew. And it's been a dream of mine for sure to be able to host people specifically with relation to contact improvisation, exactly as Manu shared, like in a place where not only we get to dance together, but we also get to eat and sleep and dream together and just be immersed in this study and inquiry of what it is to be human.
Yeah, perfect contact dancer's dream to have a dance studio on their property. And for those who are not here, we're sitting on the side of a mountain surrounded by trees with this beautiful vista. It's an incredible view that we get to see the sunset at 9:30 p.m. because we're Canadian hemisphere, and we dance in a geodesic dome. If you want to talk a little bit about this, because to me it's really beautiful, one, dancing in a circular shaped building because of the nature of contact, that we're always in a circle for the most part in our conversations, and that it seems like a beehive in a way that has attracted bees to the roof. And also it looks kind of like a spaceship, like it really is a different terrain from what we would normally see in everyday life. So do you want to share a bit about this?
Yeah, the dome, it's a little bit of a alteration on a typical geodesic dome. So we call it a zome. Yeah. It's got a pointed top. It almost looks like a breast.
Okay, I see it now.
And so a good friend of ours who's part of our contact community has a company that sells and creates these domes, Phoenix domes. And I worked with her to create this structure. So the structure is 27 feet high and 50 feet in diameter, so it's almost 2,000 square feet. Something that we didn't anticipate was that it actually attracts a lot of pollinators. So we have a lot of bees and wasps that like to fly into the zone, and it has sort of a hum to it.
Yeah.
And the quality inside the dome or the zone does feel kind of akin to like a beehive itself. And it sort of feels like it's almost like an opportunity for us to sort of meld our hive minds around contact improvisation and movement and soma. So, yeah, we've got like I said, the floor was all built with wood from the land, and then we got plywood to surface the top of it so that we can slide a little bit nicer on there.
Yeah, it's very cool. It brings a lot of different imagery, like almost like a kid's playground or spaceship, or when we get wrapped in with the foil to keep the sun out, I was saying like a baked potato.
At the same time,
it's just a very like otherworldly thing to be here and to arrive into this space. So I'm enjoying that much. Yeah.
There's something really special about dancing in a circular space, like you mentioned. Yeah. It's like in a regular room. You don't have these space in the city. Circular space. Oh, they're pretty rare. And it's just a no corner, no dead end, no trap. There's always this energy circulating around. As a dancer, I like to move through space a lot. And when there's corners, you get the place where you need to turn back because you're hitting the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going left or right. But with this, it's just circular.
Mm-hmm.
The energy, sometimes the center tends to be the quieter zone as opposed to the corners,
mm-hmm.
which I like, except for the people watching. But, yeah, so it has a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm. It also adds to this element of disorientation because, I mean, we know which way is the door and mm-hmm. then the view, but when you're spinning and dancing in mm-hmm. contact, you don't have the same orientation.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck in the other world. So.
And for the other senses, mm-hmm. the sound is very particular in domes as well,
mm-hmm.
in circular spaces. And so the sound is very particular, different depending where you're standing. It has some very beautiful echoes in the center. And like a very subtle speech on one side will reverberate on the other side very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the whole room very connected.
Yeah.
It does. And I think, again, the round design also helps weave a sense of belonging and inclusion in everything that's going on in there. Something else that I find really powerful inside that dome is because the ceiling is so high, it's got almost like a cathedral-like experience going in. So I feel like it could have this sort of quality of creative inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday we opened the gym with vocal toning for a while. It was very beautiful, and you could definitely hear the resonance within the room, and moving from there into gym was a really beautiful
mm-hmm.
experience to have. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, do you want to perhaps share your area of interest in contact? I know that you're doing DJing as well. And yeah, share a bit about your teaching.
I think I stand at the cross of contact as a practice form, as an art form, as a spiritual practice, as a social gathering. So in some ways, I'm very purist in the form, and in some ways, I'm very experimental in the form, trying to meet the form where it's at now while remaining with a foot in the past where it comes from,
mm-hmm.
From the originator. So my passion is to hosting and making a beautiful place for people to feel good about the practice and to learn what the practice is and was and being ready to add their seat to what is becoming. And so I don't want to stop the practice from evolving. So it's like, yeah, kind of a holistic view. That's my practice, is to have this multifaceted approach to the form. On the dance floor, I'm very technical and very practical in my approach. But then as a host, I want to include as many facets that the practice brings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The question was
just about your background, perhaps in teaching and what your interest is, because I know that you're also hosting some things with Alicia Grayson, and it seems to be more this soma inner body journey in European hosting contemplative dance in the morning and kind of
yeah. So a little bit about my background. I mean, I've been pretty focused on my study and inquiry around the soma and the body for many years. I mean, I've had a 20-year-long, I guess it started 20 years ago, yoga inquiry and meditation. I got really interested in movement patterning and Laban, and did a bunch of work in there. And just I'm always more and more interested in other potential practices and just personal inquiry work, including the body. A number of years ago, I got certified as a Rolfer and a movement integrator. So I've been doing work one-on-one with clients for a number of years now. So I'm really interested in movement patterning. Whether it be psychosomatic or more structural and physical. And I'm really interested in, you know, how the crossroads of the physicality and our spiritual, emotional bodies meet and how we hold these types of patterns or choices in our bodies. So I am very interested in contact improvisation for, it seems like, obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But I'm also interested in other practices that feed the form.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my classes are informed through that lens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've had a beautiful structure in the mornings of doing contemplative dance practice. I haven't done this at some other places, and this seems to have a nice structure and tone for the day as well. So we're doing...
It really does. Yeah. Like, to me, the contemplative has got a lot of elements of Buddhist practices
mm-hmm.
woven into it. Just really having an opportunity to sort of quieten the mind, begin our inner relationship and inquiry, and then to transition into the outer world and outer inquiry. So bridging that space between inner experience and outer expression and outer relationship with other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're also beside a Buddhist center. You picked a good spot
for having this, which is back
to the roots in contact with Nancy, and they studied Buddhism. So
absolutely.
Yeah, right next door.
There's so many, I think, gifts and teachings within Buddhism that come out in contact, improvisation, non-attachment, being a big piece right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can list them all, but I think we all...
Not everyone studies Buddhism, though.
It's kind of it's subliminally in the practice.
Mm-hmm.
No one's been proclaiming that contact as a Buddhist background. We know that the originators have had some experience. Martin Keogh is another one. He used to be a priest mm-hmm. in Zen Buddhism before committing to contact. But it's not talked about, but it's clear that the practice breeds... deep values and consciousness.
Yeah, I really wasn't aware of this until the last year. I knew there was like mindfulness and meditation with the stand, you know, the stand, small dance and these things. But yeah, going to Thailand and really reading books about like the background that this was, the initial intention and behind some of the early experiments was opening for me to learn more about it. So.
And for me too, like, I look at contact improvisation as a revolution, actually, in the way that we relate in the world, because I think there's so many things that we can research on the dance floor that then exponentially show up in the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And like, my dream is for people to come together here and research these things and like go out into the greater world, and we'll just exponentially start shifting things, you know, more mindfulness,
mm-hmm.
more listening.
Yeah,
these are really important things, I think, for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've also had beautiful support, I think, within the festival to have assistance with Carrie and JP to have talks about consent and sexuality and these things. I think sometimes it's just classes, but to have these extra spaces to have conversation about these things that we don't necessarily talk about on the dance floor has been super supportive. Yeah, if you have anything to say about this, the addition of them or the importance of that and having the festival.
Yeah, for me, it's not just about researching the form on the dance floor, because when we come together in community and we spend several days, you know, intensively together, stuff comes up. And to me, it's really important, how do we show up to support each other in community, not just on the dance floor, but outside the dance floor? And how do we facilitate these kinds of discussions that are alive for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of how we grow healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's become more and more important in the community, because I feel like this practice has been growing from being a very technical, physical practice to becoming more and more of a social practice. So these dialogues are becoming more and more important because we're social creatures, we're organized in groups, we spend 10 days together, relationships are formed, interrelationship dialogues and conflicts arise, you know, issues of belonging, issues of consent and sexuality and trauma will arise in those spaces. And so knowing that, we decided to integrate these important topics. So far, we've mostly talked about the subjects of belonging in groups, and then consent, and then sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Other subjects I would like to bring into our structures, which haven't happened yet, but is how to be in a relationship with a partner at these events, or if your partner is not here, and also aging in contact improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear more about that, and this will be probably in the next editions of our festival.
Yeah.
To have the proper people to be able to speak about those things is important too. JP and Carrie from Seattle, Missoula, they're very well skilled in talking about consent, sexuality, and belonging, so they fit the bill for that very well.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have this quality of support within the group. It's not always seen, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think we've been getting hints about the talk about the aging and dancing through Andrew, through Leilani, through Martin as well. And I'm also very interested in this part because in many ways, like, they're very embodied dancers for, mm-hmm. you know, 70s and beyond, and how beautiful, but also, like, how do we take care of the body as dancers?
Mm-hmm. So. It's inevitable, you know. Yeah. Sina and I are in our 40s, mid mm-hmm. 40s, and I think I'm kind of feeling I'm at the apex of my practice now. I'm like, mm-hmm. This is going to be a physical apex, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only predict that my body's going to give me signals of physical aging.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we prepare with that? And lucky mm-hmm. to have like Martin around and Andrew he's been around for a couple of years, just to show us that the practice doesn't end when the physical starts mm-hmm. shifting. Like there's a lot more layers of what contact improvisation is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even Peter Bingham in Vancouver
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that has unfortunate illness of Parkinson's disease, and he still teaches. He's still there hosting daily classes in his 70s as well, mm-hmm. and still being part of the community and nourish the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just, yeah, a beautiful lens to look to. It's like, hey, we're all aging, but the practice can age with us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I came back to Canada, honestly, to be able to study with these teachers that might not be around 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
to be able to like learn from the wisdom of these people that were my first teachers, and in yeah, the origins of Canada, of contact, are here in Canada, yeah. in Salt Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Learning
these
from
are
these
our
people.
Elders. These are
yeah.
our community mm-hmm. elders, and it feels like a real honor to be able to have them with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like first generation, second generations, I've been in touch with like the founder of the forum, and they are here now.
Mm-hmm.
In just 5-10 years, you know, I'm not sure they'll be as much active in the community. So now it's a very precious time to mm-hmm. still have
mm-hmm.
a foot in the originators.
Mm-hmm.
They studied with they yeah, danced with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a lot more teachers in the world, like you know, it's interesting we call them master teachers, because there seems to be like a few handfuls of master teachers. What comes after that? You know, there's been it's been spreading across a lot. Contact's mm-hmm. been spreading very wide. Will there ever be master teachers in contact, or that was just from the first, second, third generations? So I'm curious how this practice evolves, being the network becomes so much broader and wider.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what will be considered like a you know, I keep repeating that word. Sometimes it's not fully agree with the word master, but yeah, that I think we understand what it means.
I think first generation
yeah.
contact
yeah.
teachers make sense. I like yeah. to like say the lineage of the
yeah.
root of CI,
mm-hmm.
so we understand that we're going from traditional
yeah.
contact
mm-hmm.
improv, from which everything else sprout out of.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We'll be back soon with our latest guest. For now, I wanted to share a dance game oracle deck, that's right, that I've created and invented called Fortune Score. So what is Fortune Score? It's a deck created for you to dig deeper into the practice of contact improv. And as a self-professed tarot and contact enthusiast, I blended the two to be used as an educational tool for facilitators and contact improv fans. This game has been played many times in Bali at jams, So much so that one of my students asked me to make it into a deck, and I have, and it's received a lot of positive reception. So it's effective to be played at a round robin, a festival, or a contact jam, or you can also pull cards as you would for an everyday oracle deck and take the theme with you as you would move through the world. This is a deck of scores. As you may or may not know, in improvised dance, we often use a dance score, which is the suggestion for you to keep in mind for yourself in the dance. Each card offers you a fortune, like you'd pull from a fortune cookie. And these are prompts I've gathered from a variety of places: mindfulness, 80 sci-fi books, teachers and trainings I've had, and a lot of them I've honestly just made up. So, a fun story behind the deck. For some history and context, Paxton held some of the first performances in contact improvisation in New York City, where they danced for 5 hours a day for a week at John Weber Gallery, and audiences were streaming in and out, seeing this performance of what would become contact improvisation. And in preparation, Steve went to Chinatown and had fortune cookies made with an invitation inside. Dancers went around handing the cookies to people on the streets of New York. And the fortune said, come to John Weber Gallery for contact improvisations. So this is my ode to that sense of humor, a tongue-in-cheek homage to the origins of CI. And it's my invitation for you to come and join the mystery of the dance. A limited run of decks have been printed. You can grab your deck of fortune score online. There's a link in the show notes to our Instagram at facesofci, and you'll find out where to buy them there. Grab yours today, and we're going to come back to our episode with our latest guest right about now. We're going to take a short break just to talk about some exciting new projects coming out. So we have Contact Body. This is a online contact improvisation course I've been working on for many months. It's based off of the beginner's workshop I've been teaching in Ubud. It's split into two segments. So solo body is all about solo improvisation. There's Bartini with fundamentals and floor work and somatic practices, and it's really about tuning inwards to your own body. And then two bodies is about learning contact improvisation partner work. So these are two courses that are completely self-paced and available to purchase online for you to learn from home. The beginning foundations about contact improv. So if that's something that's curious to you, the full details are on contactbody.ca because I'm Canadian. And you can learn all about that. And there's a promo video. And also please check us out at Faces of CI on Instagram for lots of inspiration and more about our interviewees. Yeah, speaking of this, so how do you guys do self-care and come back to your center for yourself and for, you know, organizing a festival? What works for you? So,
like self-care during the festival?
Yeah, perhaps. Saying? Yeah.
Well, I'm still struggling with that one.
Honest. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I got to sneak off for a couple hours today and went to the lake. Mm-hmm. But we're really lucky because we're surrounded by such beauty and such beautiful nature. And that is a way of self-caring, I think. Just taking moments on our own here to just sit and be, watch the sunset, jump in the lake, you know, listen to the crickets, look out at the starry night, and just spend some moments actually alone. Well, I mean, question, can you ever really be alone with this much aliveness around you? Mm. But to sort of be able to take this experience in, we need to punctuate it with some solo time too, which is available here. And that's what I do. I try to do.
Mm-hmm. This is the year I'm taking the most time to myself. Selena can probably attest to that. I think I've had a really busy summer, and I'm heading to Germany in a few days, so I need this time that I can actually relax in the forest. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm simply breathing in, breathing out, and dancing whenever I feel the call. So I feel I've had plenty of dancing and plenty of rest. I feel very holistic at this point.
And I think something that we're doing to sort of care for everyone, including ourselves, is the incredible food that we're mm-hmm. treating ourselves with here. Mm-hmm. We've been lucky enough to have an incredible cook who's cooking all sorts of really nourishing, yummy, organic food. So I think that goes a long way for self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming from hosting the festival 8 years ago for the first year, we skipped 2 years, that's why it's the sixth edition this year. It was crazy, but I was doing everything. I was like cooking, I was teaching, I was hosting registration, I was going to teach for a few moments, then cook after. And that from that moment, I was like, okay, I know all the systems, but I'm stepping back one at a time. And this year is the year I'm doing the less. I'm hosting the most, I'm present with people the most, and being able to be, you know, available for my own classes and for the teachers. And so we feel, and then giving that power away, it makes the community grow as well. Like, we have a volunteer coordinator, we have a great cook that feels supported. And then, you know, so I feel like, as opposed to hoarding that, all the responsibilities, just like slowly kind of giving responsibility to others that I trust. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so far I feel very supported by everyone is involved in this.
Art of delegation and solitude in nature are both beautiful. Mm-hmm. Supported. Mm-hmm. I felt very supported by the animals around. We have like eagles flying overhead. We had shooting stars the other night. Mm-hmm. We're 10 minutes from a lake and also the ocean, so it's offered a lot of opportunity to have the break that's needed for the body to catch up and integrate all of this new material and downloads that we've been having from the teachers here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any challenges in contact with yourself as a dancer, or a community, or anything of this? Mm. Yeah.
I think for me the biggest challenge in hosting this event is just the logistics. We're off grid here, so that means that we don't just hook into the power that most people have in their home. We have to generate it either through the sun or through backup generators, and being able to keep up with people's needs, like coffee in the morning and all that kind of stuff, takes a lot of my energy. So that's the challenge, to be really on, and then to be available on a somatic basis, either for teaching or for dancing, is a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. I think we've had such incredible participants here this year. That's been actually one of the easiest parts. Mm-hmm. Just that so many people are caring for each other as well. And I think that says a lot about how we've helped curate the space in terms of facilitating the conversations, getting JP and Carrie to help us with mm-hmm. with all of those sorts of elements of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Selena's hosting us on this property, and there's a lot that goes under the radar for most people. But being off-grid is 100 times more work than being plugging into water. Like, there's so many details.
Making sure we have enough water every day, yeah. Like all those things. But
so,
you know,
she's the person who's the most on at the festival, during the festival. You know, this responsibility of still being host on the dance floor and represent the festival as a teacher, but also, mm-hmm. like, yeah, just the raw logistical
needs,
stuff,
yeah.
That needs to happen is a big part.
It's a big part, and it's also part of being here too. It's like mm-hmm. my desire is to really invite people's mindfulness around what are we asking for if we want toast in the morning, like a toaster. How much power does that draw? Is that actually what we need? How much water are we using? You know, is it okay to go and have a 30-minute shower? Can I get the job done in 5 minutes? You know, like mm-hmm. all these things impact the environment that we're in. And I think sometimes when we're in the city, we can have a tendency to tune out to all those things. So I think it sort of becomes part of the experience of being here. Mm-hmm. Mindfulness with each other, but also mindfulness in all of our actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your challenge in contact.
My challenge in contact. Well, you know, I've had a number of contact challenges. One challenge that I've had has just been physical. And as I continue to age, I had a hip replacement 4 years ago. Mm. So it's been a godsend. I'm super grateful for it. but it's part of my challenges has been, you know, caring for my body as I continue to dance. And yeah, the conversation around aging and contact is really, really alive for me.
My challenges. I think a lot of my challenges in contact are social. I'm someone who, like I said, sometimes I'm a purist in the contact. So I tend to like very quiet spaces, dance floor. I get distracted by people chit-chatting a lot. Mm-hmm. So when that's present in the space, I know I'm on an edge of discomfort. So that's a social thing that can always be addressed. I mean, in challenge physically, you know, I feel my body's very healthy and I'm not feeling any challenges at that level. But of course, there's like challenges of relating to another through the body that sometimes brings frustration, but is also the push and pull of acceptance and frustration, which is part of the Buddhist practice, I guess, of like accepting and noticing what triggers my mind to be irritated and also accepting it and see how can I meet this and how can I meet this person in the body and make the most beautiful thing happen from that. So I feel that the times I'm the most detached from the practice itself is when I have the most beautiful, authentic, surrendered dances.
Beautiful. We're about halfway through the festival. I think we have a few more days to go. We've got Blindfold Jam and Underscore and still a couple more days of Leilani teaching us wonderful things. Do you have any favorite moments so far out of the festival?
I feel like there's been a number of great moments. For sure, the toning before our evening jam last night was a real highlight for me. Just hearing the whole dance space, the dome, the hive, billing with this like incredible cacophony of sound, and just like the weaving of people's voices together and sounds was quite magical. It almost had a feeling of just like altered state. By the time we actually started to go into movement, it just really infused the whole space in a really dynamic and beautiful way.
Yeah. I'm a musical being, and in jam, sometimes I like silence, but when we add music and when music is well-crafted or very spontaneous and attuned to the space, that's when I feel like magic like emerge. So yeah, there was a jam two nights ago, and one person was jamming on his own with a few instruments, and the space was just vibrating. There was like, it was all one, and it was a musical jam, but it was very spontaneous, and there was a dialogue between the dancers and the music, and that's when the more senses are joined, you know, together, the more senses are activated, I think the more alive we feel and taken by this life. So I think this was one of my favorite moments. There was not that many people. I think it was like 20 people maybe, but it was still
was this the one you were DJing?
No,
or the other one?
No, the one I was DJing at. I mean, that was also a pretty and beautiful moment that because I was in the making of the DJ night, I felt a bit removed from the experience of the dancers. But yeah, that was a magical time too. I played a very experimental set that night.
We're really lucky at how amazingly masterful Manu is at crafting soundscapes for us to dance at. It's not like you're just contact dancing at an ecstatic dance or something like this. Like, he's really crafting the sounds, not just music. It's really, I feel like it really adds a whole another layer of inquiry into people's movements.
Yeah, that was my favorite jam night so far. I definitely feel the soundscape, and I was telling him after it felt a bit like Halloween. We had, we had all this material that we'd absorbed from Andrew's workshop about composition in the room and coming into the room and actually pausing and waiting and how we could unify as a group. So it felt very unified, and it felt like an art piece with his soundscape of these like moody background tones. And at some point we had a goat visiting us. Someone has a pet goat, and I went outside and there was a black cat somewhere, and it was just a very different field that was happening at that moment. So very cool.
It was a pretty special night. I've played for contact improvisation for dozens of years, and last night was one of my favorite, not last night, but that night was one of my favorite time. I was a bit unabashed with the experimental side of what I was offering. And sometimes people are resisting that kind of sounds, but I felt it was well received. There's something to be said about music. To me, I'm as much a music head as I am a dancer. So I have my own perspective, and I love electronic music. And I've offered to play electronic music for jams often, and people are like, oh, we don't want pre-recorded music. And as much as I want to honor what they want, I find that electronic music has a way broader range of possibilities than an instrument, an instrumentalist with their one instrument. And so for me, live music is amazing, and it's my own opinion saying electronic music has a greater potential for as a sound texture, as a sound aesthetic, to stimulate the body in different ways.
Yeah, I will share also, so I was in a Christy Simpson residency last winter for 3 weeks, and she put on a piece for a score for 20 minutes that was from the 80s, that was an electronic piece with voice of people speaking a whole story out. And so that was what you were doing in the jam, was electronic with some voices inside. And it's, this has been done, so don't worry about people who want just pan
which I love.
Beautiful as it
I played
is.
Yeah, last
I
night love and loved it
too.
It was
just
beautiful.
But there's room for it. So and kind of what brings you the most joy in contact? That's my favorite question in a dance that you're having.
The food.
No. in a dance.
I did used to have a fascination with during the underscore bringing in different things for people to taste test.
Oh, okay. So food is the best favorite part of the dance.
It would be something like a slice of apple with coffee grinds and some sriracha on it, and I would just insert it into people's mouth as like an additional stimulus input.
Some whipped cream came in the picture.
Banana.
Okay.
We keep this dance floor food free.
No, I'm curious.
But Celina is thinking about putting tarps down soon. Bring the food in. What brings the most joy to me is when there's this like instantaneous. This two-way conversation that happens when you're both listening and speaking simultaneously, which is not possible with words. Right now I'm speaking, you're listening. Soon I'll be listening, you're speaking. But in contact, it's possible to have this two-way stream that can both absorb information and give information simultaneously. So to me, I recognize when that happens, and I feel so heard, and I feel so available to hear and to feedback what's happening in real time. That's what brings me the most joy. Sometimes it's not technicality, you know. I think sometimes it's just hand to hand, head to head. Sorry. But when you bring technicality into it, you're like, wow, there's a great level of complexity, but that conversation is not lost, and so that exponentialized this. Joy. That's me.
What gives me the most joy? I think the element of surprise, when I get surprised in a dance. That gives me a lot of joy. And when I say surprise, I mean not surprise like I got dropped on my head, but you know, a surprise input or a surprise mm-hmm. pathway that just mm-hmm. got, you know, I just discovered because of something else someone did or mm-hmm. or whatever. That's what gives me the most joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Those giggles, you know, the unplanned giggles. Mm-hmm. You're not planning. I love when contact becomes a joke, you know, like make a physical, just like you're having a movement and the two people start laughing. It's like no one planned this joke and something funny just happened and we both react to it. And sometimes it's the most benign movement, but it's just the unpredictability. It's like, I didn't see that coming, you didn't see that coming, that's funny.
And we both created it.
We both created it, yeah. We don't know what created it, we can't repeat it, no one understands it, it's just the moment, it was like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, like that one happens.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Mm. Would you like to share a bit about some upcoming events that you have here? I know that there's something happening in the fall, and we also have Alicia Grayson. Do you have more information?
Yeah, I've got a really exciting 2-week-long deep dive with Alicia Grayson from Boulder, Colorado, and Sabine Parzer from Austria. They're going to come and offer this transformational journey. So it's going to be a combination of different things, different modalities that both of them have studied and taught and experienced for many, many years. So there'll be things like authentic movement, contact improvisation, various body work, ritual, nature connection, and that's going to happen August 19th to September 1st. So I'm really excited about that. It's the first time we've done something that long. So we're going to see how that goes. But so that's, and then we've got the jam into the fall coming up.
Last weekend of September, 3-day jam. That's like the fourth or fifth one we do. We do the spring jams, we do fall jams. So last weekend of September, 3 days, mostly jamming with some scores and mini classes. And then we've got the winter retreat, which is the fourth one, usually with, it's been with Martin Keogh or Angelica Doni from Russia. This year, a lot of logistics haven't been set yet, but the dates and the places reserved. It's not going to be here because it's too cold in the winter here. It's going to be at Beaver Point Hall and 6 days over New Year. So 3 days before New Year's, New Year's celebration, day off, and 3 days after New Year's.
We've been doing that for years, which of course got interrupted by the pandemic too.
And if people wanted to find out more about those events, how could they find that online? And also about Salt Spring Island Contact Festival, if you guys have a website or Instagram, Facebook. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, for the contact related events, it's all listed.
It's contactimprovisationsaltspring.com.
And for events that are happening specifically at rhizomesprings.com.
Beautiful.
We yeah. also have an authentic relating and circling event happening for 3 days in September, September 7, 8, 9, which isn't contact-based, but it's another event happening here, and I think it really feeds this, you know, ongoing question around relatability.
Mm-hmm. Something that hasn't necessarily been told, but Salt Spring is, for us, it's our world, and as it seems, it's big on the map in my heart and my mind, but a lot of people that might listen to this podcast, like, where Salt Spring Island, where is that? Mm-hmm. So we're near Vancouver, Canada, Victoria, Canada, on the West Coast. It's an island accessible by ferry or by plane or by swimming if you're really courageous.
Yeah, and it's in the Coast Salish Sea, which is the west coast of what's known as Canada. And these areas are unceded Coast Salish territories. This island in particular was home, or is home still, to the Halkominum and St. Coffin speaking people. So we're doing our best to learn more about them and learn more about their ancestry and what they're up to today. We had a gentleman of Halkominum ancestry come and speak with us at the beginning of this festival, which was really informative. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful to integrate the nature and the environment in which you're in into the dancing that we're doing. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And thank you both. Thank you for joining another episode of Faces of CI.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll tune in next time.
Thank you.